I don't want to bring up COVID too much because that doesn't deserve any more glory than it just came in and ramrodded and took. But since then, you talk to a lot of people and they talk about memory fog and a lot of things, and you see how churches have been affected, attendance and all kinds of things, and confusion in people's minds about a lot of different things. And it was just really awkward, and it was strange, the things that that demonic spirit did. And not just to God's people, but people, I mean, in the world. There wasn't any place, I mean, Hollywood, there were places, every place was touched by that. And so I want to just wait until these guys get out here, because I want everybody to hear what the Lord is saying. Because I talked to you all week and people around me, and talked to a pastor's wife this week, and my heart went out to her. And, you know, you talk to the same people, and so you hear some of the very same things. Let me ask you, how many of you, I know probably most of your men, probably not all the men, but how many of you, when you're driving your car, you fill your gas tank up when it's about three-fourths full? Yeah, nobody? You, Clara? Honey, you're a disappointment to me. You know, some men just say, oh boy, Sharon, you and Clara are going to have lunch. Okay, so my husband always tried to tell me, fill that car up, get gas in the tank, you know, at least when it starts getting half full, a quarter of a tank full, empty, just fill it up. Well, okay, I will if I can remember. I said, but you know, you could fill it whenever you want to. And so how many of you fill it up when it's like half full? Well, okay, I guess I can handle that. How many when it's a quarter, you just run down there to the station? Okay, it's a little more. And then how many run that thing on E, and then sometimes it's past E, and then you're speaking in tongues, and you're praying in the spirit, and you're, oh God, and he's like, don't blame me for that, baby, you're on your own. I'll never forget Evangelist Wayne Neal was out here, and you know, when you have an evangelist, you want to make a good impression, but I usually get past that pretty quick. And so he wanted to go to that outlet mall over in Visalia. So we took somebody with us, and I drove him to the outlet mall. Well, we got over there, and I forgot to get gas. And we got back, and I'm halfway home, and you know, there's nothing out there once you pass that little vegetable market. And I'm telling you, that car, it was so far past E. It was way out there. And I said, Wayne, we don't have any gas. Girl, what do you mean? You know, he's just a nervous wreck all the time. What do you mean? What do you mean? We don't have any gas. I said, no, we don't have any. None. I mean, zero. When he reaches over and looks. So I was already praying in tongues. Well, he started in too. And he said, you know what, Paulette, I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to run with you, you're going to get saved if you're not, because you just drive me crazy. And so anyway, we made it out to Lindsay. And you know what, this is honest before the Holy Spirit today. We coasted in. That thing cut off. And we coasted up that little driveway right up to the tank and stopped right there. So I don't recommend that. It's kind of scary and it's no good. But you know what's scarier is when we get to that place in our emotions and in our life. And, oh, that's a bad deal, church. That's just not good. And so you can't, listen, that's kind of funny about the car, but we can't even afford to go down a quarter of a tank. You know, I used to say, you know, if your joy is a quart low, we'll get over there to Jesus, because he said, in my presence, there's fullness of joy. And today you're just talking. This pastor's wife told me this week, she goes, I've just got to tell you something, sister. I am emotionally drained. She said, I am spiritually, emotionally, physically, she even went heavier and said, exhausted. I am totally exhausted. I feel drained. And I'm telling you, I knew that there were many of us, or many of you, if you haven't been there, you will be there at some time in your life. But I would venture to say you've already been there. You know why? Because we are human. Okay, you can read your Bible all you want, but there's going to come a time where you're going to be spiritually drained. Because the devil's going to see everything that he can do to try to drain you. Okay, so whenever these things happen, you're like, God, what happened? Did you backslide? No, I'm not backslidden. No, I haven't quit serving the Lord. I love him. God, what's going on? I just feel like I'm running on empty. That's what I'm going to call the message today. In case you want to look, all of our messages are always on our website. So I'm just going to call it running on empty because of these words like I've heard in the past year. I'm totally drained spiritually, emotionally, physically. And then you know what else? Confusion sets in. And when you get emotionally drained like that, then you just get confused. And nothing seems right. And you know, there's just a lot of things. And I'll tell you right now, these guys that wrote this for us, there isn't one of them in here that didn't go through that same thing. And I'm going to give you an example of one. And we're going to get you a pen and paper out. On Wednesday nights, I gave you all a yellow pad. Get that yellow pad out and write down these things, because Elijah went through the very same things that we do. And the Bible says, Jesus' brother said it over in the book of James. He said, Elijah was a man of like passions. That means he had passions and emotions exactly as we do. And so let me let Elijah speak, because Wednesday night I was teaching about, I wasn't even teaching about Elijah, and he came up a couple of times. And so I thought, well, Lord, Elijah, you wanted him to speak tonight. And so I went home and began to read it again. And by yesterday, this thing was growing. And then he's reminding me of these people. I heard what the sister said. So let me give you some of this. 1 Kings 19. And we'll write a few things down, and I'll show you the signs and some things that go along with being exhausted, an empty tank, just plain old drained. All right. 1 Kings 19, verse 1, and Ahab, somebody say he's a bad guy, told Jezebel, and she's worse. And Ahab told Jezebel, his wife, all that Elijah had done. Also, how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said, So let the gods, the little g, let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as one of them by tomorrow, about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and he ran for his life, and he went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. That's getting pretty bad. And he said, it's enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Now, look, Elijah had just completed one of his greatest miracles and experienced one of the greatest anointings ever on his life. The prophets of Baal, the false prophets of Baal, there were 450 of them. And the thing that Ahab went and told his wife was this, and I'll just brush up here just for a minute. He said, he went out before those prophets of Baal and all the people, and he said, who is on the Lord's side among you? And so he asked him, if you're on God's side, then be on God's side. If you're on Baal's side, then be on the side of the false gods. And so he said, well, let's have a little contest. And he said, if your God is God, then call fire down from heaven and let him, you know, split a bull in half and put the sacrifice on the wood, and then call fire down to set the sacrifice on fire. If our God is God, then we will do the same. So the Bible says that in chapter 18, that the prophets of Baal, they prayed and called fire down and even cut themselves doing everything they could to sacrifice to their God to get fire to fall on the wood and on the sacrificial bull. And so Elijah mocked them and he said, "Hey, where's your God? Is he on vacation?" I think I told you guys a little of this Wednesday night. "Is he on vacation? Is he relieving himself? Is he gone to the bathroom? Is he on vacation? What is your God doing?" I mean, just mock them all. Well, you know, nothing fell. You know, fire didn't come from heaven because their gods are just dumb gods. They're just made out of wood or gold or whatever they had. And the Bible says if you follow a God like that or make a God, then you become just like them. They have ears to hear, they don't hear, eyes to see, they don't see. No, you know, and all there's all different kinds of things, and there are familiar spirits. And Satan, he is an angel of light. So there are times where he can appear to be a reality, though he is a reality, but he's not a God of miracles. Now, he can bring a little substitute now and then, but those gods didn't even bring a substitute. And so Elijah laughed them to scorn, and then he said, "Look, here's our bull. We've split it in half. We put him on the wood." And so they poured water all over it to get it good and wet. You know, wet wood doesn't burn. And then Elijah says in his calm voice, "God, you're my God and our God. But for the sake of these people, I'm asking you to bring fire down and answer our prayers that they might know that you are God." And God did exactly what he said, and he brought fire and burned up the sacrifice. So that's what Ahab ran back to tell Jezebel, and boy, they didn't like it one bit. So the Bible says here, we read it in the second verse, but the second verse back up, Jezebel sent a messenger and told Elijah, "So let the gods," little g, "our gods," those little gods that can't do anything, "let them do to me and more also if I don't take your life like one of those that died, the one of the 450. Let the gods take my life if I don't do to you what you did to them by this time tomorrow." Well, here's Elijah, a man of God, totally full. The Holy Ghost, when in the Old Testament, it says when God put his hand on him, his hand would come on him. That was the work of the Spirit. So Elijah was full of power and the glory of God. And so he just had the greatest miracle. 450 prophets of Baal died, false prophets, of course. But when he heard this lie, and when it looked like Jezebel was in total control, when it looked like COVID was in control of the whole globe, and it did control a lot for quite a while, shut the doors of all places. I never dreamed I'd see the church doors closed. For a season. We didn't close for a long time, but we did close like everybody else. Well, Elijah got scared, and look what it says in verse 3. And when he saw that, when he heard the messenger and saw him, he arose and he ran for his life. Write down first when it says he saw that in the NIV, it says Elijah was afraid. Write down number one, Elijah was afraid. So when you get spiritually drained, guess what's going to happen? Fear will start rising up in you. You're going to get weakened in your spirit, weakened emotionally, weakened physically, and when you're plain old tired, I mean, I'm talking about just being tired physically. Fear can have its way with you, and fear can just set up and just wreak havoc all in your mind. And number two, it says he ran for his life. Look at that. He ran for his life. So if you're not careful when you're in this place, you will try to change your geographical location. There's been people who's lost a loved one. Well, they move away to see if that'll help. Or they lose their job. What do? Move away to see if that will help. So we can run away sometimes. So I want to ask you today, If you're in here and you're emotionally drained, what are you running from? Are you running for something? If you are, I want to warn you today, and I'm telling you, I haven't felt a message like this. This is an amazing word right here, and just going to bring it right out of this chapter right here like Jesus did. Said he spoke in parables, and without parables did he not speak. Okay, nothing theological about this. It's just plain, I mean, you could preach it yourself. He ran. But I'm going to tell you something. When you're drained and you're running on empty, it's a very dangerous thing to run. So please don't run away from anything. Okay, don't even think about it right now. I know many of you have been through a lot of hard things, but be very careful about the changes that you make. I mean, even moving maybe across town or changing churches or, you know, I don't know where that came from, but whatever. You're thinking about, be careful, because we can make decisions on impulse. And if you do that, then that can be kind of scary. You just jump out and do it because it feels good and you make those decisions like that. Well, that's not good to do when you're running on empty. Okay, so he went to, and look where he went. He went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. And then you start running away from relationships. And then you're not even staying with your family. You've turned away from friends, and you've turned away from church, and you turned away from family, and because you're emotionally drained, and you're hurting, and you don't want people to see how badly you're hurting, so you just don't go near them, and then you're afraid they're going to get hurt. One lady told me this week, I said, honey, were you going to church now? And she says, oh, I'm not going anywhere. And I said, now, wait a minute. If you know, you're running out here with the world all week long, and the only time that you're going to get to be with a group of God's people is when you come to his house. I mean, that's it. You're not going to run onto another group of, you may have two or three Christians at work that you work with, and that's wonderful, and you can get in your prayer closet with God every day, as you should, that there's just something if you work around among all those worldly people all week. Don't you think you need about an hour or two with God's people? Just to lift your hands? Because see, they lift their hands just like you do. They love him just like you do. So it's very important not to pull away from people and isolate yourself. And we'll be going there too. Now, did you get that one? I'll just run through this so quick and you won't even write it down. All right. Did you get, he was afraid. What else? He ran for his life. And look at this. And he ran off. He left that little servant of his. I mean, just pulled away from that little. Oh, there, I have interrupted myself. The sister told me, no, I'm not going anywhere. I said, why aren't you going to church, honey? Why? And she goes, well, I just don't want to get my feelings hurt. I said, sweetheart, I got my feelings hurt before I got here today. You're going to get your feelings hurt wherever you go. Somebody's going to do it. And the bad thing is, I said, I might hurt your feelings and not even know it. Look, I'm going to ask you, forgive me before I do it. One day I was at the back door and people were just all around and going out. And this lady didn't come back, so I checked on her. And she goes, you gave me a hateful look at the back door. Honey, I didn't think I'd seen you in 2 or 3 weeks. Honestly, I probably didn't even see her, but she said, maybe I had a million things on my mind. No, you didn't. You gave me a mean look or hateful, whatever it was. So I said, look. I don't know who taught me this, but I heard this a few years ago, and it's helped me. If I get my feelings hurt today, and one of you all hurt my feelings, and you do, I hurt yours, you hurt mine, so it's an even, okay? Not all the time. I mean, we're not that sticky. But I'm just saying, if we do, we have 1,000 more feelings left. All kinds of nerves and feelings. You're on my last nerve. No, I don't think so. You do. You know how many nerves you got? No one's on your last nerve. So get over your sweet self. All right. Good preach, Pastor. That's really good, sis. You're doing good today. All right. Thank you. talk to myself to. So we left that little servant there. Who was the servant? Listen, this little servant was so important. He's the one when also Elijah had not just a miracle of those prophets dying when he called fire down. He also had the miracle of declaring with his own mouth, it's going to rain. After 3 years of drought, the ground was cracked. There was nothing growing in the gardens. There were no crops because the ground was cracked and it was total drought. And Elijah said, it's going to rain, and it rained. But he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. But this little servant that he left behind is the one that he said, servant, go out there and look and see if you see any clouds. No, Elijah, I don't see anything. Now go look again, son. No, there's nothing. Go look again. There's nothing. And he could have said, I told you. But no, he was submissive to the man of God. No, he said, Elijah, there's nothing. I told you. No, just go look again. 7 times the little guy went out there. I don't know how old he was. He goes out there and he came back. You know the story. He said, Elijah, I do see a cloud the size of a man's hand. He said, that's good enough for me. And he got up and he said, now you go tell Ahab it's going to rain. Oh, no, please don't make me go tell him. He will kill me if it doesn't rain. He'll kill me. He'll kill you too. Oh, no, go tell him. And he goes, you tell him to get on his chariot and go where he's going because it's going to be a downpour. And the Bible says that Elijah outran Ahab's chariot. He outran it in the rain. The rain poured so heavy. So here was another miracle. So Elijah knew better than to get down in the dumps like this because a woman intimidated him. See, behind the woman, it wasn't the woman. It wasn't the man Ahab. It was not even the king Ahab. It was that demonic spirit. It was a demon spirit that intimidated her. And that's what causes people to fear. That's what made Elijah fear. That's what made Elijah run away. Do you think he would have ever ran and lost this relationship with this servant? You would never leave your brothers and sisters behind. But he's like, nobody cares about me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody knows what's going on with me. You don't even know what's going on with you. How would we know what's going on with you? I don't even know what's going on with me. But God knows, church. I'm telling you, he knows. So here you've got him running away. So when you're emotionally drained, physically exhausted, mentally exhausted, whatever it is, you start making bad decisions. Write that down. You leave relationships. Here, he made a very bad decision. Look at this. He knew better than this. He knew better. Verse 4 says, but he himself, Elijah himself, went a day's journey where? Into the wilderness. Why in the world would you want to go to a wilderness? Why would you want to go to a place where there was nothing? I mean, there was absolutely nothing there. There were no people. There was nothing. But there was a little broom tree there. And look at this. Now write this down. And the Bible said he prayed that he might die. Now Elijah went out to... He went out, write that down. He went into the wilderness. He made a bad decision, bad choice, however you want to say it. When you're emotionally drained, you make a quick decision. You make a permanent decision over a little temporary mood or a temporary anger or a temporary fit you just had. Be careful when somebody so upsets you that it makes you get out of town and run to the wilderness. And then, write this down, he got out there and the man of God did what? He collapsed under the tree. Little dead tree out there and the man of God collapsed. He could not take it anymore. Write that down. He had gone as far as he could go. can go one step farther. He pushed himself physically. See, not only can you do that in your place of work, but pastors do that all the time and evangelists. I know that. They just push and push. You go through 5 funerals in 1 week, and you get up and preach. And you're all good. And then you seek God's word, and then on Wednesday night you get up and preach. And then you went through something else. Somebody over here did this. Or, you know, it's just constantly something. And then it goes on. Well, you can look at this. And then he starts talking to himself. You're about ready to collapse, but you keep going. Why? Because you know you have to. You know you got to take care of your mama and Roman's mama. And you got so much to do and take care of business. I don't mean to point you out, but I did. My gosh, and then you have the whole county of Tulare. All those sheriffs in California, what? I mean, these things are not even funny. They're serious. Listen, this is big dog stuff. When your family's sick or you got a boy lost and then your brother just died and you're like, what? All kinds of things going on and nobody even knows. Some of you look like you got the world by the tail. You look like everything's just rosy and so perfect in your life. But God knows. He sees the hurt. He sees the pain. He sees how you just keep pushing, Teresa, and just keep pushing and just keep going until you just want to lay down under that tree and get alone. But see, isolated. Write that down. You'll get isolated. And when, you know what comes with isolation? Loneliness. Then you get lonely and you feel like Elijah says this when he got there. Look at that. He says, Lord, it'd just be better off if I was dead. He just thought death might be a way out. That might be a good thing for him to do. I'm blown away at this ever since I was a young girl to get this story. And think of the man of God could go from running 5,000 miles an hour in that miracle and call rain down. He's the reason the drought was there. He spoke to the land not to rain for 3 years and it didn't. He called it back and it did. So you look at this, I remember in the 80s, gospel preaching radio was a big deal. Everybody was on the radio. We didn't have a lot of Christian TV. I think we had 700 Club maybe, and TBN was starting to grow. 700 Club was a big deal. But all the preachers, man, I listened to Kenneth Copeland, Chuck Swindoll, B.W. Burpole. There were so many great preachers. I can just name them here this morning. And they taught me so much, and I loved them all, and I just felt like they were a part of me. And I'll never forget old Chuck Swindoll, and just one of the greatest Bible teachers in our generation. And so my cousin lived in Dallas, and he was over 5 or 6 Sonic drive-ins there in that Metroplex area. And he would call me on the phone and he'd say, honey, I'm just tired. I'm just tired. I am worn out and I have my family and I got the job and I need to spend time with the kids and I need to do this and this and I got the church. And sometimes I just meet myself coming and going. I just wish I could run away. And I said, well, brother, look, Why don't you start listening to Chuck Swindoll with me? Okay, I'm going to pray with you. And this is just something that we go through. It is a seasonal thing, and you will get through it. You'll be all right. We've all been there. I've been there. And you'll go back to it again. I hate to tell you. But listen to it. Well, one day, I called him. I said, Kenny, did you hear Swindoll yesterday? He said, oh, yes, I was going to call you as soon as I got a break. I said, about the lonely wine of the top dog. You know about that, Laura. You got a big business going. Chuck talked about the lonely whine of the top dog. You can't tell anybody anything. And yet, some of your greatest trials, your greatest challenges will always, I'll say always, but they usually come right after, he also taught us this, the aftermath of a giant killing. One of your biggest times, one of your greatest miracles, your greatest life of enjoyment. Then here comes this demon, Jezebel or Ahab, to intimidate you. So I said, I'd be better off dead. I just couldn't even believe it. But what was it? It's what Swindoll talked about, the lonely whine of the top dog. And Kenny was like, oh, yes. He said, I believe that helped me, Pastor Moore, Paulette, more than anything. Okay, so look now. So God sent an angel because he knew exactly where his boy was. He knows exactly whether you're in the car, you're in the house, in your easy chair, lying on the bed or on the sofa, or at Starbucks, at school. He knows exactly where we are. And so verse 6 says, and then he looked there by his head, and there was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and he drank and he lay down again. Now, who brought that to him? There was nobody within miles of him. God sent an angel and brought that to him. There was by his head. He put it at his head, the cake and the jar of water. And verse 7, and the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. Because, look at this, because, do you have that up? Because why? The journey is too great for you. In this life that we live down here, we need some angel food now and then. Angel food. We need heaven's strength. Thank God we get that with communion. But he said, I know this journey is too great for you. The angel sent God sent the angel to tell Elijah that, and he sent me this morning to tell you that he knows that this journey is too great for you and is too heavy for you. It's a lot. He said, it's a lot. A lot. And yet we're not going through what Israel and Ukraine and Hamas, all these guys are going through. I mean, it's just awful. And you're talking about physically exhausted, but we got our own world here, okay? So God said, he's talking to you this morning. We're not talking to Nazarene or anyone else. We're talking only to us. Last week, we talked to the people of God because he said, you're just blessed in your mind. But today, he just said, I want you to know, I see you, and I know it, and I know the journey's too much for you. Verse 8, so he rose, he ate and drank, and he went in the strength of 40 days that lasted him. All right, verse 8, and there he went into a cave. Okay, the angel spoke twice. Okay, you get two blessings from God, and you saw him, and you saw his work, and you saw his bonus, and what'd you do? You wound up going right back into that cave. Stay out of there. Stay out of that darkness. Stay out of that cave. God says darkness and light are the same to me, but don't draw out. Don't pull away from me and run out there. Thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 8. And there he went into a cave, and he spent the night. Where? In that place. Write that down. Do not spend the night in a cave. Because that's what emotional stress will do to you. It will make you spend night after night after night in a cave, isolated and alone. And then God speaks and says, what are you doing here, Elijah? He knew his name. What in the world are you doing here, boy? You're mine. You shouldn't be laying here wanting to die and all lonely. I just did all these miracles, and you've left the little servant. You've left your family behind. What in the world do you think you're doing? All right, you can just read the rest. But here's what happened. Look at verse 11. Oh, no, I've got to read 10. You have to see it. Because when you are emotionally exhausted, physically, spiritually, here's what happens. In verse 10, he started comparing himself. Elijah compared himself. He said, I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. And at one point he says, Lord, I am no better than the people out there that I run with. I am no better than my fathers behind me who were wicked. I'm no better than them. Don't compare yourself with others. We can't do that. Every now and then I'll get in that mode and start comparing myself with other pastors. How can I do that? They're men, most of them. Sure don't want to do that. And you see these guys on TV and like, man, they know what they're doing. And you hear the stuff going over and over and over. But he started comparing, and Paul said, do not compare yourself with others. Paul said, that's not wise. Don't do that. And then, he went a little bit farther, and he said, don't even compare yourself with yourself. You know why he said that? Don't compare yourself with yourself, because he knows we're wishy-washy. I wish you wouldn't say that. Well, you know we are. Okay, he says, so don't do that. That's not wise to do that. Don't compare yourself. And so anyway, he did. Verse 11, God takes it all out of Elijah's hands right here and proves to him, hey, Elijah, don't you forget, I'm the one that's in control. Because when you're running on empty, I promise you, you will forget who is in control. And you will think you've got to handle it all. You don't have to handle anything. In fact, you couldn't if you had to. Verse 11, I'm closing, so give me a minute here. And then he said, God speaking, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by in a great and strong wind, tore into the mountains, and it broke the rock in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. Oh my goodness, they had a big wave of revival, and you mean God wasn't in it? Woo! No, God broke everything in pieces, but he said, God wasn't in that. And Elijah was saying, oh, he's speaking to me now. Man, the earth is quaking. Oh no, he's in it. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Are you kidding me? He's, oh God, you're shaking the earth. Surely you're in this whirlwind to speak to me. No, you're not in that. Verse 12, but after the earthquake, there was a fire. What? Oh, yeah, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. See, today, everyone across the world is telling what revival is going to be like. It's going to be this, it's going to be this, it's going to be this. And then we're looking for that. And when it doesn't happen, we're like, shoot, Lord, we thought you were coming in that. But the Lord wasn't in the fire either. And after the fire, there was what? Look at that. And that's what you hear on a daily basis. Say, I don't know about that. I don't know if I know. No, you hear his voice. You do. You do. And so it was when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle. He went out. He went out and he stood in the entrance of the cave, and suddenly a voice came to him and said, here's what the voice said. What are you doing here, Elijah? I already made you a cake. I gave you a jar of water twice. I sent an angel to you twice. You're always looking for me and this, and you're looking for me and that. You were looking for me in the wind and in the earthquake and the fire, and I had to show you. Stop. I'm in the still small voice, and I'll do it the way I want to. Okay. So with all of that said, I came here to tell you today that your God knows your name. And he is in control. I don't care how big the mess is. I don't care how ugly it is. It doesn't matter who started it. You started it. They started it. Or no one started it. You're just in a big place and you're like, God, I just don't think I can go much farther. I'm just wiped out. Well, that's why he gave us the Psalms that said, lay down and he'll lead you beside still waters. But actually, can I just show you Matthew and we'll quit. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28. So what God did pretty much when he says, Elijah, go out of that cave. When he did that, it was pretty much a Matthew 11, New Testament, what Jesus said to us, the very same thing, almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus still speaking the same thing. What does he say in verse 28? The first three words. Write it down. What are you going to do? You say, I already did that. I'm saved. I'm blood bought. Now he said, you just need to come to me. Why? And who? Who's he talking to? All of you who labor. All of you who labor. You say, well, I'm a housewife. Yeah, but you still take care of the kids. You got married kids you're concerned about. You got to cook for those little ones at home, do all that laundry, fold all the clothes, and work too. You got full hands. So Jesus said, I know your labor, and I know you're heavy laden. But he said, you come to me, and I promise you, Jesus said, if you'll come to me, I'll give you more to do. Are y'all awake? I will make you feel important on your job. I will increase. I will make you feel important in ministry. I will just give you more ministry. No, he said, all of you labor, you come to me. You're heavy laden. I'm the one who will give you rest. I will do that for you. Take my yoke upon you. Mine's easy. Mine's light. Oh, the world. See, if you put your problem before God and you're looking at that problem and you're missing God, and you forget to see him, you forget to listen to that still small voice, then you really will run out of gas. And it's not a good thing. So, hallelujah. I'm so glad he sees us, aren't you, church? He sees us. He knows us. He knows we get heavy laden. And he knows who we are. So, Brother Chris, I think I'm going to have y'all join us down here. I just want us not to have any music. I just want us to learn how to just... He said, what did Jesus say? What were those three words? He said, just come to me. Hallelujah. Let's stand, pray. Lord Jesus, we didn't have to have Elijah standing here today to tell us this stuff, but he was. That's what the word's about. You said they're there for our examples. And he allowed me, thank you for writing all that mess down. Because, Lord, it's rough sometimes down here. And it's not all going to be over until we're with you. And, Lord, you bless us so well. And, man, there's sometimes we're just soaring through life. And all is well and all is good. But it's not like that for everybody in the house today. In fact, I would say most of the people here are dealing with some tiredness. Trying to get through the mess and the lies and the filth and the Ahabs and the Jezebel and that demonic spirit that has been loosed again. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, lift up your hands and let's ask him for a refilling. Lord, fill us with your spirit right now. We need a refilling. We need a rebaptism. We need a rebaptism of the Holy Ghost. You said when he comes, he would fill us with power. He would fill us with wisdom. So, Lord, refill us. We need another filling in Acts chapter 2. They had to be filled again in Acts chapter 4. They got another filling. And so, Lord, you said, come to me. And so, Lord, who am I? Who am I to keep any of your people away from you? This is a group, Lord, of your people that's gathered today. And we want to come to you. Church, I'm going to ask you to come to him right now. All of us, just come on down here with me. Get around the altar. Sit on the steps. Lay on the floor. Just give him, I'm just asking for 5 or 10 minutes unless the glory falls, and then we'll be here until tonight. But just get in the river and let the river flow. Let the river feel you. Let it feel you. If you're a guest, if you're a visitor, come on down. Come on down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Lord Jesus, fill us up. Fill us up. Fill us to overflowing. Just ask him in your own voice. Lord, fill me. Woo. Lord, I just want your filling. Fill me up as a pastor. Fill me to overflowing. Lord, sometimes I feel like Elijah. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Lord, we've had your hand upon us. But Lord, right now we're asking you to wash us, cleanse us, forgive us. Come on, he said, just come to me. Just come over here to me and let me give you rest. Jesus. Those that are emotionally drained, physically exhausted, mentally, spiritually exhausted. Ooh, rest. 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 Take Jesus' yoke upon you. Oh, sha-da-la-ba-ba-ba. God himself said, come out of that cave. Get out of that depression. Well, you can't do it by yourself. You must have his help. And that's what this meeting is about today. That's why we're here today. He said, I'm pulling you out. Not this group of people. Nope. Not this group of kids. You're mine. Pull that music up just a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, worship him now. Worship him. Come on, church. Lift your voices and give him praise. Lord, we praise you. We praise you. We love you, Lord. We worship, we praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we are high above principalities and powers. We denounce every evil Ahab, every Jezebel, that evil lying spirit. As we receive the Spirit, Lord, that you have given us, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. Woo, Lord, anyone in this room right now believing a lie? Lord, I pray that the truth from heaven, they may be looking at the truth in their life, which is truth, but it's a lie. May the truth of heaven. Oh, shadalabaha. Oh, my God, my God. Jesus, you paid the price. We're at the cross this morning. We're at the cross. The reason you said your yoke is easy for us is because it was heavy on you. Yeah, it was heavy there, but it's easy on us. Oh, you said, learn of me. I'm meek. I'm good. I'm gracious. I'm merciful. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you and turn his face toward you and be gracious to you. Turn his beautiful countenance toward you and give you peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the name that's above every name that is named, who sits in heavenly places and calls us to sit there with him. Amen and amen. He knows your name, church. Woo! Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.